More blanks and doubles have been confirmed, so Jules' planning is through the roof. FPL Challenge is also live, and time is ticking for me to decide whether to hit that wild card. Hello and welcome back to the FPL pod. Well, I tell you what, it might have been an international break, but there has been so much going on in the world of FPL, and I don't just mean because of all the wildcards active. Julian Aron, Sam Bonfield, an exciting week, Sam, particularly for you. FPL Challenge has launched, and I know it's something you've been working closely on.
Yeah, really excited about FPL Challenge. It's going to be a really nice addition, I think, to the FPL family that we have now with obviously Draft, the main game, and Challenge. It's an opportunity for us to all be able to pick all these exciting players that we want to target for 1 week, whereas normally we sit here and we go, oh yeah, I'd really like to have this one this week, but you know, the fixtures after that are really difficult, or there's a blank coming up. Don't have to worry about any of that in Challenge. It's like this week only, and then we can move them on for a different squad the week after. It's great.
And it won't surprise anyone listening that before even opening the new game, Julian Laurent declared he's going
to
win it.
Hey, I was top of a mini league because I was the first one to join or something, with producer Francis as well. I thought it was really exciting. I like the idea of a different challenge every week. If you forget, for example, like you would forget maybe you, Kelly, or maybe not you,
someone. Forgotten once when I gave birth.
Yeah, fair enough. But if you miss the deadline on our usual game, then obviously it's not good for your ranking, it's not good for your week, etc. In there's no commitment. It's just you don't play for 1 week. You can play again the next week. Everything starts to zero again. And I like the different challenges. We know already what game week 31 and 32 in terms of challenges will be. And they're quite cool. So yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm sure we'll talk about that a lot more in the coming weeks. But we've also had the exciting news, the news that we have been desperate for, so we can make that strategy that Jules goes on about so much. We now know that 7 teams will be doubling in game week 34. And interestingly, particularly if you're Sam Bonfield, Spurs will also blank in 34. So, Sam, is this the point now where you can go, okay, I can really sort my strategy, I can really plan the run-in for the season?
Yeah, when that announcement dropped on Saturday morning, I was like, I am so glad I'm on a wild card right now, because suddenly there's the opportunity to just really target in on the games that are being played out in 34. We also can get a rough idea of where the other four games that still need to be rescheduled are going to go based on FA Cup and Champions League involvement. So all of that stuff means that we are now in a place where we can really plan for the last, well, up until game week 38 in reality, and we can set our teams up nicely, particularly if you've got a free hit still in play. And kind of wish I still have mine now, but if you have that free hit in play to cover out Spurs blanking and Chelsea having a difficult fixture in game week 34, then you have an opportunity to really target those two clubs, because they're going to be the ones that play 6 times in the last 4 game weeks.
Jules, Mr. Planner over there, this must be music to your ears. How's those spreadsheets? How's that tiny little notepad doing?
It's good. I've got a team for game week 30, a team for game week 34 to get two.
And then what about
a team
in between?
And a team for game week 36, 37. And then if you play your wild card like Sam and I are going to do this game week, and I'm sure Kelly by the end of this show will convince you to play yours as well. No, but we all know it will be anyway. I think this is great because, like we said last week, you've got strategy within your strategy, in the sense that you can already plan for 34, especially because it's going to be a big, big one where you can potentially even play a good bench boost, a very clever bench boost then. And then 36, 37 will come pretty quickly after that. So you've got plenty of time to plan. And with the free transfers that you will get if you play your wildcard like us in game week 30, then you'll have enough transfers to get to 34 the way you want, and then to 36 or 37 the way you want as well.
Before we do a deep dive into those blanks and doubles, and particularly 34 and who we might be targeting, Jules, you're our Mr. I watch every game of football going, whether it's under 16s, 17s, or whichever nation. What are the headlines, do you think, from an international break point of view when it comes to FPL?
Unfortunately, and this is probably the worst time as well for it, is that we saw a lot of injuries or a lot of players. And Kelly, you were obviously with England and you saw what happened.
15 players missing from Gareth Southgate's squad.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
The French had similar stories as well, with two players who don't play in the Premier League, but just to point out, like, it's not just England, but get Kyle Walker, John Stones, maybe even Akanji, Haaland, a few of them picked up. Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes you just come off, for precaution reasons. But we saw Andy Robertson, for example, with Scotland, which is bad news for Liverpool. So there's really, for a lot of Premier League teams, the international break, unfortunately, has been quite bad in terms of injuries or just pick up knocks, things like that. So make sure, again, I know we said it every week, but make sure that you listen carefully to all the press conferences of every manager, especially the ones involving your players in your team, to see what they have to say between today and the end of Friday to know exactly the fitness of some key players for your team.
I think it happened just after the podcast last week, actually, but Bukayo Saka also withdrew from the England squad. And from an FPL point of view, that's a big worry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big worry, although you could also see the other around and that he would have had 10 days to rest and to recover from, I don't think it was a bad injury. I think it was a niggle. We saw Kevin De Bruyne not going as well with Belgium too. So again, for them, you think that it's time that they can have to recover, go to the treatment room with the physios, et cetera, et cetera. So they should be okay to go. It's more concerning for John Stones or Kyle Walker, for example, going back to the City-Arsenal game, who got injured with only a few days to go before that massive, massive game in the Premier League. So for them, I think we can be certainly more worried than for Bukayo Saka or Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, definitely worth keeping an eye on Pep Guardiola's press conference. Hopefully Ian Irving will be in that and be asking the questions that us managers need to know. Okay, then going back to the more exciting stuff of the double game week in 34 and the blank as well. That did come out on Saturday morning. Now, six of the fixtures that were due to be rescheduled will be played in 34, which is kind of what we'd expect. That means that seven teams double, one team blanks, and the other 12 will all play once. So it's Arsenal, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Everton, Liverpool, Sheffield United and Wolves will all play twice in game week 34. So some big teams there with some popular FPL players. Spurs are the only team to blank in game week 34. It does now mean there are still four fixtures to be rescheduled after this announcement. So kind of watch this space. Actually, Sam, very quickly, where are you expecting them to go? Because it's a bit of, at this point, where is the space in the calendar for them to go, isn't it, with all the Champions League fixtures too?
So we're expecting Spurs and Man City, Brighton, Chelsea, Manchester United and Newcastle to go in game week 37. And then the Chelsea and Spurs game will probably slot into either game week 35 or 36. We just don't know which one they'll choose. Whichever one it goes in, it's a difficult double for Spurs because it's either going to be Chelsea and Arsenal or Chelsea and Liverpool. So your investment in Spurs might be changed anyway by where that fixture decides to drop. It would be nicer for Chelsea, depending upon which of those 2 weeks it goes in, it's Aston Villa or West Ham as well as Spurs.
Yeah, Spurs and Chelsea are actually going to play six times in the last four game weeks, so they definitely have to be part of our plans. But Jules, which teams following that news are you really targeting?
No, I just wanted to add to what Sam just said about Spurs. They will also have City. So in their two double, they could have double game weeks back to back, which would be pretty incredible, 36-37. But they would potentially, I mean, they will have City there as well on top of the fixtures that Sam just mentioned, which is going to be tricky. Even if they can score against anyone, they're still tough, tough games. I think for 34, Arsenal and Liverpool, really, if you can double up for sure, maybe treble up if you can, if you play the wild card now and you can get ready for it. If you manage well your transfer and you're planning to get as many Liverpool and Arsenal players that you can for game week 34, because obviously I think they are the two, more than the Bournemouth with Solanke, more than Wolves or Everton, all of that. This is really the ones that you want to target. So Wolves and Chelsea for Arsenal, away for Wolves, at home to Chelsea. They're decent fixtures for Liverpool. It's both away games, but Fulham and Everton. So yes, there's a Merseyside derby there, but I think at least two of each for that game week 34 makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Sam, how does this also help you with your chip strategy now? Or not just you, because I know you've used the likes of your free hit, but what should managers be thinking to do?
It's funny because when the fixtures originally dropped, I was like, ooh, that double is much bigger in 34 than I was anticipating it being. I thought the game week 37 double would be bigger. And at that point, I was like, maybe I'd move my bench boost forward and play it in 34. But the reality is that with Spurs blanking and you wanted to carry your Spurs assets into game week 36, 35, depending upon when that first double comes, it's unlikely that you're going to want to sell your Spurs assets. You're probably going to want to move them to the bench for that, unless you've got a free hit, of course, and then feel free to do whatever you want there. But so for me, I think it's still going to be a bench boost in 37 strategy because I'm going to have the Spurs assets that I'm going to hold. I'll also want to hold my Chelsea assets, and they've got a difficult fixture against Arsenal in double game week 34, and that's their only fixture. So maybe I don't want to play all of my Chelsea assets that week either. So for me, the bench boost in 37 still makes the most logical sense. It just means that I'm now using my wild card to target players, particularly like the second goalkeeper slot and places like that where you can prepare for the future by having somebody in place that doubles them.
Jules, what's it doing for your plans for your bench boost?
I don't know. Just simply because there's obviously more teams that will have a double in 34 than in 37, that I thought maybe 34 is a good time to play your bench boost. But again, it depends the structure of your squad. Because you might feel that you get to 34 and your squad is really good and then the players on your bench are likely to return, play there. I think with the bench boost, as much planning as you can put into it, there's also how you feel on the just before that weekend, just before that game week, and you think, you know what, my players on the bench are so and so, and I fancy them to return, play there. If you're not feeling it and you think that by the time you get to 37, again, you'll be in a stronger position. You play it there, but it's undoubtedly between either 34 and 37. I mean, 36, maybe, if as we said, Chelsea and Spurs have a double then, but it would make much sense for, I think, everyone to play their bench boost if they haven't played it already in 34 or 37.
The other thing to say, Kel, is that the bench boost doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a full 15 of doubling players. Like, there will be teams that have a really nice fixture, but just one. Like, for example, in game week 37, Everton have a really nice fixture against Sheffield United. So if you've got like Pickford and Branthwaite on your bench, then you would expect there to be some decent returns there. So I think that's the other thing to consider is, if you're thinking about playing in 34, what kind of fixtures do your single game week players have? Are they likely to return from the bench? And then what happens when you look at that for game week 37? Where do your single game weekers play? And are they more likely to return? Because actually, as we always see in double game weeks, often it's the single game weekers that really excel. So we just got to make sure that we are covering all of those bases and targeting as best we can the fixtures across those weeks rather than the number of doubling players that you have.
I mean, even I'm not going to hold my wild card this long. Don't worry, guys. But some managers might hold their wild card, Sam, mightn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's another option. So the other play here is to look at game week 35 as a really nice wild card option. It means that if you've got your free hit in 34, you can use that then and then come out into a wild card. If you haven't got your free hit anymore, then you can kind of dead end your team down into game week 34, but you're not really dead ending because you're investing in teams like Liverpool and Arsenal. And then you can play your wild card in 35. It means you can fill your teams with Spurs and Chelsea at that point. So you don't have to worry about having them in game week 34. And then obviously you target in on the teams that we mentioned earlier that will still have that doubles play in 37.
Also, another question to you. I feel like this is quick fire questions with Sam, but me and Jules are all ears. Jules has got that notebook out, so he needs to know everything as well. When are we expecting, do you think, for the other doubles to be confirmed? When can we kind of know the final schedule, so to speak?
I'd expect them to come with the TV announcements. Usually that's right. Roughly when we get them. When we get the TV picks, we usually get the double game week announcements. So I suspect we'll wait until that point and then we should see them.
I'm basically asking you to ask a question you don't know the answer to there. Sorry, I'm just wondered if
she
you had
knows
any
every
insight.
Answer.
No, it just feels like there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes, and it'll feel so much better for all of us when we have a definitive answer. So I just wondered if
I think
knew.
The thing is with like Manchester City, realistically, it can only go there because of FA Cup and Champions League involvement. Yeah. So Spurs and Man City have to be in 37, really. That means that the Spurs and Chelsea game can't really go in 37. I think it's highly unlikely we'll get a triple game week for Spurs. That seems madness, particularly in the final game week before the last one. And then the other games, they kind of put themselves in there again because Manchester United still have FA Cup involvement. And obviously, if they get through, then I think they're most likely to go in 37. It's just where that Spurs and Chelsea game goes that's kind of we're waiting on. But even then, you know it's going to go in one of those 2 weeks. So you know how you want to invest in Chelsea and Spurs because you know what the fixtures are going to look like anyway.
Basically, just invest in them. Is probably the moral of the story at this point.
I mean, maybe not defensively for Spurs for those two doubles, given that they
Liverpool,
are really
Chelsea,
tough.
Arsenal and City, they would play.
Bear that in mind. as we've seen so many times this season, doubles don't always mean double the points. Well, they do mean double the points, but in the case of Reguilon, it can mean double the minus points. So yeah,
what's your minus point with Reguilon recently?
Anyway, on to your wildcard. Maybe not. Some noise in the background of this podcast. It's really annoying. It's like a high-pitched little, yeah. Wildcards. As I said, I've resisted. Mine still isn't active. Still time, though. Still time. There is, however, two active in the shape of Sam and Jules's. So we know that Jules isn't very decisive. We know that he's probably nowhere near deciding, but we'll try and push him
actually,
into it.
I have, actually, funnily enough.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Actually, just interestingly as well, we had a little bit of a guess last week, didn't we, Sam, about how many wildcards we thought were going to be active. Are you a little bit surprised that the number's a little bit lower than we perhaps anticipated?
Yeah. So I sat here last week and I said I expected there to be a lot. And then on Saturday morning when that fixture drop happened, I was like, oh, there'll be loads now. And maybe there still will, coming back from international break, because obviously some managers will have literally just gone, right, I'm taking a break over international break. But yeah, I'm surprised. We've got like just over 108,000. In play, which seems quite low given it's an international break and we've had a double game week announcement and we pretty much know what the schedule's going to look like between now and 38. So yeah, for me, I'm a bit surprised, but I would expect it still to grow a little bit.
Okay, so two confirmed wildcards, Jules and Sam. Jules, you're very confident about your wildcard being sorted. So
I mean, you know, it's because this is all about planning, talent and vision. So I worked really hard on this because, no, more seriously, you know that if you wildcard in game week 30 like we do, then obviously you know how many free transfers you're going to get between then and 34 to readjust the squad or to make it better if you want, because you still need players for game week 30 anyway. So for example, if you like a Rodrigo Muniz, a Fulham, because they play Sheffield United this in game week 30, for example, and then Dominic Solanke doubles up in 34 with Bournemouth, you could easily start with Muniz now on your wild card, but then make sure that amongst the free transfer that you would get, you move Muniz to Solanke, you've got enough money in the bank to be able to make that move. So you build your squad for 30, of course, but in the back of your mind as well, you also build it for 34 and how to get to the team that you want in 34. That's why, for example, Muniz, Darwin and Haaland are the front three for this game week 30 and very likely 31 as well. And then from 32... to get to 34, I will have Solanke instead of Muniz.
Okay, so there's one thing that you've decided on.
I'm just saying, you know, in every department, I've got those kind of plans.
All right, let's go through from goalkeepers to forwards and you can tell us where you're at and how set you are and the question marks you've still got ahead of the weekend's deadline. Sam, firstly, your goalkeepers. Let's get this out of the way quickly.
This is the place I'm still the most undecided, Kel.
It doesn't surprise me.
Of course.
No, I know. Since our last podcast, I have had, I think, four different pairings of goalkeepers at different points, because I think I sat here last week and I had Areola and Rea. Currently, I've got Pickford and Petrovic in there because I'm trying to get a doubling player for game week 34 and then another doubling keeper for game week 37. And I'm also trying to have the opportunity to have a decent single game week goalkeeper for game week 37. So Pickford's got Sheffield United. So at the moment, that's where I am. It's also slightly cheaper that way than having Rea in there. And that also gives me an opportunity to double up on the Arsenal attack for game week 34, which is something that I think I prefer anyway.
Jules, your keepers.
So I've got Leno and Kelleher. Kelleher obviously has a double in 34. That's the idea. And Leno, I think, has decent fixtures going into 30 and 31. And then the idea is at some point to change to Petrovic or Ederson if he's back and I've got enough money for the City double game week.
So you two have both changed from last week, haven't you?
Yeah, I've changed a lot from last week.
Surprise. What about your defence then, Jules?
So right now I've got Saliba and Malo Gusto, who are the two that I really want there all the time. I've got Jamal Lascelles as well, because as we say, after the Botman injury, he's cheap. He makes a lot of sense. He's going to start too. And obviously, from a Newcastle point of view, the double game week comes later. But you can still have Lascelles and leave him on your bench. It's fine. Pedro Porro for now, because it's a Luton game for Spurs. And I think I will sell him before 34 anyway to bring probably Ben White. And you can easily do the swap Porro-Ben White. There's a similar amount of money. I think Porro is 0.1 more than White. And then the last one is either Ait Nouri or Branthwaite. I haven't decided yet. Both of them doubled in 34. So it will be either Ait Nouri, probably likely Ait Nouri or Branthwaite.
Okay. So yeah, a lot of changes there as well. But the doubles having such a big impact. Sam, how does your defence compare?
Yeah, it's quite similar. I've got Udogi rather than Porro. I just can't find the budget to get up to Porro, so Udogi for now.
Is a Spurs defender, is pretty much essential, you'd say, we're having one of those two?
I think so, for the next couple of weeks anyway. Like, it feels like up until game week 30, well, even including maybe 33, because of their attacking threat, you'd have them. The big question then is, what do you do with them? Do you move them to the bench for 34 and just have them sit there? Or do you sell them at that point, like Jules suggests, and get like an extra Arsenal defender, or maybe a Liverpool defender? Because by that point, we're going to know whether Trent is available or not, and whether therefore Bradley will get the start or not. And then coming out of that, it's difficult because you would be talking about selling a Spurs asset who's about to go into two double game weeks. But as we've mentioned already on this pod, the double game weeks don't look set for clean sheets. So I think I'd rather have the double Spurs attack at that point anyway. So for me, up until 33, yeah, you'd have a Spurs defender.
Sorry, I interrupted you then, but I just thought there was a similarity there. And it does feel like most wildcard drafts I've seen have got a Spurs defender, and what we said about their fixtures as well. Who else in your defence?
So Guster and Saliba, the same as Jules. I think those two make a lot of sense. At the moment, I've got Lascelles. I'm not 100% wed to keeping him, but I think there's other options that I could go with before. But the Newcastle fixtures are nice in the build-up to their double, which we're expecting to be in 37. So maybe I might just have him now, and it's one transfer less I have to make further down the line. The other spot's up for contention. I've still got Zabani at the moment because he doubles in 34. I do quite fancy a Crystal Palace defender, though, so maybe Anderson instead of him. Not quite decided yet.
Okay, so pretty similar in terms of defenders. I get the feeling midfield could be incredibly similar. In fact, I'm not going to waste time on this podcast by guessing, but I could probably give it a good stab if I did do it. Sam, go on.
Salah, Saka, Son, Palmer and Anthony Gordon. They're my five at the moment.
I reckon four of those five are the same, Jules.
Yeah, it's just I could not get to Son. I wanted to, so I'm very happy with Maddison.
It's because you've got Porro.
Yeah, the only way to get Son is like Sam just said, I go Porro for Udogi, and then I can upgrade, if upgrade is the right word, Maddison to Son. But I like Maddison and that assist to Bellingham with England. We'll give him a nice boost. And in a way, okay, Son is Son, and he's more likely to score, I guess, than Maddison. But Maddison, in all the creativity and how important it is for that Spurs side, bonus points as well, because he will get on the ball a lot, it's maybe not a bad shot too. So if you can get to Son, I guess maybe, yeah, go to Son. But if you have to settle for Maddison, you can still be very happy.
It's not a bad settle, is it, Sam, either?
No, exactly.
No, he's great. And I think that the difference here is Porro for Udogi and then the team value that we talked about last week. It's just that my team had some more value in it, so I had the ability to stick with him. I think for me, the Anthony Gordon spot was a little bit contentious. He's got three home fixtures in the next four, which is why I've gone for him at this point. Then I'm planning to hokey cokey with him. He'll go out in 34, and I'm probably going to bring in Eze for the Crystal Palace double. And then I'll sell him again after that one and bring Gordon back for the run that they have between 35 and the end of the season.
The thing with Gordon as well is that, I mean, I think we've said it before after an international break, but him to make his England debut like he did against Brazil, he lost. So he was not happy with the loss, but he played so well in his first ever cap, first ever start for England, that you can just imagine the buzz and the confidence and the momentum that then he brings with him back to his club. And it's not just him. We've seen many players like that after making their international debut. And you can just imagine the energy that he will get at the weekend when he comes back as an England international playing for Newcastle again, and the reception from everything. So I think Gordon will probably still be surfing on this wave of the England debut, etc. as well at the weekend.
Okay, so you've both got Saka. We don't need to discuss him. We've discussed him in depth. We've both got Salah. I think we said last week, didn't we, Jules, that he has to play. He has to be in our teams. Is he essential now?
Yes, although you could argue that before the international break, you could see that he was not back at his best yet after the injury, which is completely normal. And then maybe he just lacked a little bit of just sharpness and that half a second where usually he's so quick and so sharp, everything. But this would have come back by now. And maybe if he's not on this game this weekend against Brighton, it will be for game week 31. So especially if you're on a wild card, there's no doubt that Salah is in there. If you're not on a wild card and you don't have him yet, it might be tricky for you to bring him in because of his cost. But yeah, I think there are some players that you need to have between now and the end of the season for this last stretch of the season anyway. And Salah is maybe the most important one of all of them.
We mentioned Gordon, Sam. Palmer's another brilliant enabler, isn't he? Aren't we so lucky to have two midfielders under the cost of 6 million who are performing like they are.
Absolutely. And it makes for a lot of fun in the other positions because you can afford to have these kind of more premium assets. So that's the only reason that I can afford to have Son and Salah and Saka and Haaland all in the same team is because we've got two such brilliant players in their positions. And I've got a lot of value tied up in Palmer because I've owned him for such a long time that he's just one of those players that I think you just want to have. And even when in game week 34, when Chelsea have that awful fixture away at Arsenal, Palmer, I'd still play in that one because, you know, he has the penalties, he's in really good form. So whilst you might want to bench the likes of Gusto, or if you've gone for a punt on Nico Jackson, you probably don't want to play them against Arsenal. You certainly can with Palmer. And then their doubles are so much nicer than the ones that Spurs are likely to have. And with his route to points, he just feels like an absolute no-brainer. And if over the last few weeks you've sold him because that's been your dead-end strategy for game week 29, not that we're going to mention game week 29 anymore, but, you know, if that's what's happened, I think he would be a bigger priority for me to get back in than trying to find a route to Salah would be.
I'm just going to throw another couple of names at you, Jules, because you've got very similar squads. I think it's important to kind of discuss the debates and the conundrums you might have had. And I'm wondering if you've looked at Manchester United at all, because I think if Ian was on this podcast, he would be saying, why are you not looking at Garnacho? 4.9 million.
Yeah, it's a great shout. And again, he went away with Argentina, and this is typically the kind of guy that is also buzzing coming back from, you know, from an international break where he played with his country. So yeah, I think it's a good shout, Kelly. They're away at Brentford, then away at Chelsea. So they've got back-to-back away games, which we know that on the road, they haven't been very good this season. And then it's Liverpool at home in a huge, huge game for their season and chasing top four, top five maybe, and all of that. So not the most easiest next three games for them. After that, though, it's obviously a little bit easier because they've got Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Burnley, Crystal Palace before the Arsenal game, and then they will have obviously a double two very likely in 37. So yeah, you could look at Garnacho, you could even look at Højlund if he recovers the form that he had obviously when he was on fire before his injury. We mentioned Onana last week, who is still, believe it or not, the highest ranked goalkeeper in the game. Nobody has got more points than him. So there's a few players there that you can target. Even Bruno, if there's a point where Bruno will come good and deliver, I'm sure, this season. But he's expensive, obviously. So it looks like Garnacho, in terms of value for money, is probably the best pick that you have if you're targeting one United player.
Sam, just one name that I should have mentioned when we had the Madison versus Son debate. What about Richarlison? Because he's even cheaper.
Yeah, I think Richarlison, actually, if I couldn't afford Son, I think I'd go for Richie over Madison, to be honest, just simply because of the position that Richarlison's likely to find himself in. Over the next few weeks, I expect him to go back in that number nine, and therefore that maybe has a slight impact on Son's position. And so that's part of the reason that I, on Wildcard, decided to spend the budget on Son, because then I can easily come down. It's much, much harder to find the money to come up from a player. So it might be that when I'm looking at how to invest in Spurs for the doubles that they have in the future, that that's the way that I'll double up. Or maybe I'll go for a Madison and a Richarlison combination at that point. I really like Richarlison. I expect him to be back in the starting 11 for the game against Luton. He's in my FPL challenge team, by the way. I've got all three of them for that one. So I just think it makes a lot of sense to target in on that fixture and the fixtures that we have over the coming weeks as well, to be fair.
Okay, then, forwards. I think there could be some differences here. Am I going to let go first? Go on, Mr. Confident.
No, I mean, I've said mine already. Darwin, because it's always Darwin time, of course. And then Haaland, because you need to have Haaland. And then Mooney's as my third one, because it's Sheffield United and Forest for Fulham in the next two games, because he's been great before the international break. And there's no reason, you would hope that momentum is stopped. So I think for me, yeah, of course, you can go for Watkins or Solanke, and I'm sure Sam has picked one of them too. But I like the Mooney's, Haaland, Darwin trio.
Is Sam, am I right in saying that Darwin's just a couple of yellows off a suspension?
Yeah, he's on eight. So that would be a two-match ban. Yeah, and he's a yellow flag. I have very similar thoughts. However, at the moment, I am going for Watkins over Darwin for this week. I just, the yellow flag. Yeah, and because I love him. Yeah. I don't know why I've become so obsessed with Ollie Watkins over the last few weeks, but I do really like this
fixture. He's lovely. I interviewed him in the international break. Lovely guy. I passed on your best.
I'm good. Thank you. He's, I just really like the fixture. It's a home fixture. It's a derby. I love investing in derby games. You never know what's going to happen in them. So for me, I'm going to keep Ollie Watkins for this week. When Jules was talking before about having a plan for your team between 30 and 34, I think that's exactly right. And my front line feels like that's where Thank the you. Majority of the changes are going to happen. I'm really loath to say that as well, because that's
it's okay. Planning, there you go. Vision, talent.
Of course. The front three, I think, is where the majority of the changes will happen. So my current plan is to go from Watkins to Darwin at some point. And then after Liverpool double in 34, I'll probably look to go from Darwin to Hoyland instead, to target in Manchester United, like you were just asking about before, Kelly. So that spot feels like it's going to be changeable. Obviously, Haaland's going to stick between now and the end of the season unless he gets injured. I can't see me not having him. And then Muniz on the other side, I really like the Fulham fixtures and his form right now. He doesn't double in 34. So at that point, I'll be looking to move him on to, you know, one of the teams that doubles. So potentially going for Cunha at Wolves, maybe targeting on Crystal Palace with Mateta. Just having a kind of a bit of a differential punt on somebody that doubles in 34. And then I can go anywhere from that afterwards, you know. And I like that flexibility that the wildcard gives, because the rest of the team is set up to target 34, to target 37. Mm. And those two spots you can manipulate to target the weeks between the doubles, but also the two doubles. So I can see that the majority of my transfers between now and game week 38 will be changing up those two spots.
Any other players that came close, Jules, or any considerations you had when making that forward line?
Yeah, I mean, you can obviously look already at Solanke, who will double in 34. So, you know, he's a good shout. Outside of, I mean, they have been the most performing forwards. Obviously, Darwin, Haaland, Watkins, Solanke have done great. Muniz lately has been wonderful. Haaland was before the injury. So I don't think Haaland right now should be in people's mind. Later on, makes sense, like Sam just said. But right now, I wouldn't be surprised if those were the main four or five forwards, strikers that most of the managers have basically in their team for this game week 30.
Sam, I'm wondering,
might be some punts on Nico Jackson.
Yeah. Also, I was going to throw in there, do you think anyone would punt on Isak at Newcastle?
The fixtures are so nice. He's one that I looked at. I just can't quite work out where I'd put him. So the home fixtures are really nice. The fact that Callum Wilson is still out injured means you're going to get the starts. You've not got the worry about rotation that we did at the back end of last season. I think he's a really nice differential pick. The only thing that puts me off is the lack of a double in 34. And the fact that I've also got Lascelles and Anthony Gordon in there. That would be a lot of Newcastle for a team that don't have their double till later. But I can see Isak as a good option.
Yeah, Anthony Gordon can kind of cover off that Newcastle attack in a way, I guess, as well. Mm. That'll be a lot of managers thinking. Just a brief chat then, obviously, because these wildcards are built for game week 30, but also for the longer term as well. If managers are looking to maybe make just the one or even two transfers, or maybe a minus four for game week 30, I think we've covered off that Salah is potentially essential, particularly with Brighton at home. Sam, do you feel like, If you are protecting rank as well, because this is one of my concerns, that I don't have Mo Salah, he would basically be my reason if I do end up wildcarding. It'll be because of fear of not having him. And the people in and around me that I'm trying to kind of fend off and I want to get my rank up will all have Salah, I feel like. So is he essential?
He's only owned by 25% of the game. So in reality, he's not going to hurt your rank that much. He will hurt you in mini leagues potentially with players like Jules and I that have wildcarded. If he does something, that will hurt. But actually, in terms of your overall rank, he's probably not going to have that big an impact. I suspect it will be next week ahead of the Sheffield United game that managers will have worked out what their plan is for Salah, potentially saved a transfer this week or freed up some budget this week so they don't have to take the minus four. So I think it'll be next week that he really hurts. This week, I think he will be a bit of a differential, not a huge differential in the same way that the ones we pick out in that section are. But at 25% owned, you never get Salah at 25% owned. So right now, this week, if you've got him, he'll improve your rank. And he won't hurt that much if you don't. But the coming weeks, he definitely will. So definitely have an entry point for him.
Any other players, Jules, for this game week that managers should be targeting?
I think we've done the round, really. I think we should consider now, especially after the international break, the remaining fixture, game week 30 to 38, with all the doubles that we mentioned, the blank, more double will be announced, and then we'll know exactly. But this is it. This is a new season almost. And that's why I think it's good to start with your wild card, because you can treat those games, those nine games, like like a mini season, really, like a mini tournament. And this is it. Depending on where you are in your mini leagues, in your overall ranking, in your country's ranking, whatever, this is your mini league. Almost this is your project. And that's why, Kelly, I know between now and Saturday you will play your wild card, because this is going to convince you. This is it. This is the last bit. We can all target to finish as high as possible. And this is your mini season, really. And this is perfect to start it with a wild card. You can plan pretty much all the way, all your free transfers, almost bar injuries and suspensions and things like that, of course, but you can plan it all between now and 38. It's perfect. And then you can be sure that you're going to get a lot of points and make a very successful end of the season.
Was that a little pep talk?
Yeah, I'm just like, you know.
Like a manager in the dressing
room. You could be our little
before.
Project, seeing how low you are compared to
whoa,
us.
Whoa. I'm above
her. She's above me. She's above me, Joe. So let's not get
real?
Carried away.
Is that for real?
Okay. Yes, I've been above her for ages. Thank you very much. I won't be for much longer.
Most of the season, to be fair.
Maybe yeah. Sam can be our project then, Kelly.
Maybe I should wildcard just to make sure she stays below me.
Yeah, exactly. That's another case.
A quick word, Sam, on what to do with Man City and Arsenal, because they're facing each other. It's going to be a brilliant game from a Premier League point of view. Not so much for us FPL managers, it feels like.
I can't wait for it, though. It'll be a great fixture to watch on Easter Sunday. It's a nice thing to have in the afternoon there. I am planning to play my attacking players. So Haaland and Saka, I'll play them against each other because both of them have got just as much potential for returns. Saliba, simply because I've got three defenders with more potential for clean sheets, in particularly with Udogi and Gusto. Like, I think you're going to want to play them, and I'm only ever playing three defenders. I think my current strategy is to bench Saliba, which I hate because I do love him. He is one of my favourite FPL assets, but I just don't see a clean sheet there. So I'm going to move him to the bench. And I think that would be my strategy. If you've got a defender from those two teams, bench them and play the attackers.
Jules?
Right now, I've got both Saka and Saliba on the bench, which feels so wrong to say.
Saka bench Saka?
Wow.
I just don't think Arsenal will do well, even with all the players that City potentially have missing.
Jules.
I don't think Saka would return. I don't think they would
You're
keep a clean sheet.
Fan.
I know.
This is unbelievable.
Saliba is my brother, obviously, as you know. It was his birthday, by the way. So happy birthday, William. On Tuesday, I think it was. I can't
Such
remember.
A good friend that it's taken you 2 days late wishing him happy birthday.
And he's benching
no,
him.
I wished him on the day. We spoke on the day of his birthday, but now yes. I'm wishing him now for the show, you know. I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about this game from an Arsenal point of view, unfortunately. So that might change because I might put Saka in at least. But for William, a weekend on the bench, Easter, he can eat a bit of chocolate, you know, Easter bunny, all of that. And then he's okay for the following week.
Okay, I understand, I think. Okay, on to differentials of the week then. Last week, well, it was kind of the week before last game week, Jules, 1 point for Johnson against Fulham.
You sure?
Yeah, he got booked as well. So it was only a point. Sorry about that. On the other hand, Sam may be propping up our mini league, but she's done a good one here on the differentials. Muniz versus Spurs, 13 points, the top scoring
would be
player
versus Spurs, right?
In game week 29. I kind of said that quite quickly on purpose. So come on then, Jules, you've got some catching up to do here. Who's going to get points this week?
This one is the week. Robinson of Fulham, only owned by 3.9% of the managers. It will cost you 4.6 million, which is really, really cheap. We said they play Sheffield United, then they've got Forest as well. So he can even get you points for the next two games. 13 points against Spurs. He got 6 against Brighton 2 games before that. So returning 2 of his last three games. And he's a very attacking left back in a Fulham team that you would expect be quite attacking as well against Sheffield United. So Anthony Robinson makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so Robinson for Jules. What about you, Sam?
Nico Jackson for me. So 6.8 million, owned by 4.7% of the game. He's got 19 points in the last three matches for Chelsea, scoring against Newcastle and Brentford, and then an assist against Manchester City. This is the first time that he's got three successive returns. And since returning to the Chelsea starting 11 in game week 24, he's had 6 shots in the box and 5 shots on target, which are both team leading totals. So I think he's got a really good opportunity. He's coming up against a Burnley side that have conceded 28 goals in their 14 away matches so far this season, and they've only kept 1 clean sheet away from home. So I think Nico Jackson could be a good pick this week.
Second time you mentioned Jackson on this podcast. He's
definitely
on your
maybe
radar,
he's becoming an obsession.
Yeah.
A little bit of a
Sam
at the moment
obsession.
As well.
on to the captaincy then. If you've got Salah, do you have to captain him this week, Sam?
Yes, I think so. I think this is the opportunity that I've kind of been looking for, well, particularly against you, Kelly, if you don't wildcard, because you won't have him.
Don't
It's an opportunity. But this is how my brain thinks. I'm looking at my team and I'm thinking, I think I've got all three of the best captaincy options this week in Son, Salah and Palmer. Those are the three that I think are the best picks for the week. I just think with Salah, you don't have very many opportunities during an FPL season where Salah is so lowly owned and therefore becomes almost a bit of a differential captain, because the majority of managers, I think, will look elsewhere. So, yeah, you don't have him, Kelly. If you continue to say you're not going to wildcard, then that is an opportunity. Whereas if he goes off against Brighton, that's double the points and that might take me ahead of you. That's my thinking. Yeah.
What's the difference between us at the moment?
Don't know. I'll check.
I can't remember.
And also, let's not forget, Brighton concede so many goals this season, especially away from home. They've been struggling defensively.
29.
Points. That's a bit tighter than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can see Brighton conceding loads of goals against Liverpool, even if Brighton have done really well against Liverpool usually. But Salah is a really good shot. So is Palmer, of course, at home to Burnley. Madison or Son or Richarlison if you have one of the Spurs boys as well. And then you can always go Haaland, of course, if you believe that he's going to return well against Arsenal.
Are you a Salah captain or as well then, Jules?
Yeah, I think so for now. I mean, Madison is the other one I'm really tempted with against Luton. Although, remember the reverse fixture when...
Yeah.
Van der Ven. I remember. Ven I just scored. Took him out, remember?
Yeah,
exactly. I got him. Yeah. It was that a rare hard win.
Only 1-0 win for Spurs away in Luton. So that it won't be, I don't think it would be an easy game, but you could easily see one of your Spurs boys being the captain. But Palmer is a good shot too against Burnley at Stamford Bridge.
Yes, nice.
What are you
going to
do, Kel?
Week? Panic?
Captain Salah? You do your wild card.
I could take a -4 and get Salah in. I still don't hate my team, guys. I'm still at exactly the same point I was.
Okay.
My midfield is currently very similar to what you're wildcarding to. Saka, well, I do still have Jota on my bench. I've got Saka, Palmer, Gordon. I could make Jota and De Bruyne, Salah and someone else. But, I don't know. Then my front line is Watkins, Solanke, Haaland.
That's not bad.
Defence, I have Gabriel, Gusto and Zabani starting. And then on my bench, Taylor and Moreno. So I need to sort it out, but I'm just wondering if I wait another week. Then equally, I've got to ask myself what I'm waiting that one more week for.
What are you waiting for?
Another week, exactly.
I just really hate using it early, guys, all right?
What do you mean early?
It's
game
early.
Week 30. There's 9 games to go.
Right, I'm ending this.
Don't tell her to play it though, Jules, because actually it's quite nice that she's not. It gives us a bit of an advantage.
Don't try these mind games. Right, I'm ending the podcast. That's the beauty of being the presenter of this. I can decide when it ends. A reminder, if you want to join our FPL pod, mini league code is IB3WLK. The Saturday deadline for you to decide if you're wildcarding like I might do is 11 a.m. That's 90 minutes ahead of Newcastle versus West Ham. The Fantasy Show also returns on Friday morning and we will be back on Easter Monday to reflect on game week 30. If I haven't wildcarded in Salah's gone off though, I won't be here. And we'll be looking ahead to the midweek round of fixtures, which of course start on Tuesday evening. The run-in is here. It's going to be very exciting and very scary if your name is Kelly. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.